Like she said, right now I'm working with the Center of Excellence in Informatics at the University of Utah, and we are able to partner with the Utah Department of Health, and we have a really synergistic relationship where we can create tools and applications in a practical setting and be able to have it actually used and then retooled by the users. And so as part of my development team, people that I work with, Susan Motice at the Department of Health is an epidemiologist, as with Theron Jepson, and Richard Kurzban works in the ITS department. And Wu Shu is our, she's the director of the Office of Public Health Informatics at the University of at Utah Department of Health. We have clicking. All right, so some of the things I want to talk about today is more the problems that we've determined that happened within communication public health, why we felt we needed to develop some kind of application framework, and then what we found to be a solution and where we should go from here. So first off, in 2007, our state conducted a SPHERE exercise, a statewide public health emergency response exercise. And some of the things that we found from that exercise is that the communication methods is kind of lacking. We needed to improve our internal as well as external communication. And one of the ideas to help improve that communication was to implement some kind of asynchronous method. The most common way of communication is going to be conference calls, phone calls, in-person meetings. And those are fine, especially for non-routine events, but they're very costly and time-consuming, especially in the routine event. And so to follow up with the SPHERE exercise, we conducted a communication survey to our communicable disease staff last December. And some of the issues we wanted to identify were how they felt on sharing information with across jurisdictions. What were some of the barriers that they had with sharing their information or even receiving information from others? And how satisfied they are with their current level and methods of communication. And through this survey, we had a few things come up that were kind of interesting. Two of the most was, out of all the methods that we offered, asynchronous communication methods were the ones people chose the most often as wanting to receive their information. But the interesting thing was these methods were not currently available. We weren't doing this at all, but everyone said, I want to do this. I want to receive my information through a website, through an email, through some kind of asynchronous means where I can choose when I receive the information and not have to schedule synchronous communication time. And so through that survey and through some other experiences, we decided it'd be nice to create some kind of framework where we can develop communication applications and release them to those users. Our first try at this is we created an application for tracking epidemiological issues. We call it Issue Tracker. It was a way to be able to keep track electronically of events that happened throughout the state. A lot of these events were like, we had several like white powder incidences. We'd have incidents of, different diseases that kind of pop up, and they were throughout different jurisdictions. And so we created a centralized website where people could log in and view those events. They'd say, hey, there's an event happening down in this county or in this city, and they could be able to put them together and especially create clusters and identify clusters. And so when we did that, we realized that it would be really easy to expand it into a framework where we could help to address some of the issues of that it does take a long time to develop applications. When you want to create a new application, like they said this morning, there's like, 70,000 different public health informatics applications, and it's an average of 6 users per app. We love developing new applications. We're like, hey, let's go make this app to do this. And it seems like a great idea, but there's a really, there's a high cost to doing that, both in time and resources. And also, most applications kind of do the same thing, or at least share pieces. Everyone has to share authentication. We all have to log into our application. We all have to host it somewhere and have some database backend. We have so many things that we're sharing, and they all may be even in the same department or program, but we're doing all these pieces on our own, and so it's really inefficient. Another thing is users don't want another username and password. They don't want to have to learn a new website to go to or a new login to use. It'd be nice if they could just go to one location, see all their applications, and then interact with them. And so that's what we decided to do as a solution. We decided to create a secure website that allowed us to host these applications, but use a single sign-on, where users could log in once and then see all their applications and share the resources that each application has. And through this, we were able to easily host new applications. So if we have a new app coming online, it's easy to pop it into this framework, give it to the users that need access to it, and then they don't have to worry about being trained on how to access it and how to log into it again. They can just kind of pop in it and then start using it. So it dramatically reduces the time it takes to develop and implement new applications. Now, as we developed this, we tried to use an agile approach where we really wanted to focus on the pieces that were most important and most needed. We took users from our development team, from our end user team, from our, and we had some clinician involvement. And so we really tried to develop it in a way that it would really maximize the efficiency and be able to be implemented quickly. We're in a interesting environment at the Utah Department of Health where if we can do it and it's free, they'll allow it. But if it costs money or time, you know, it's out of the question. And so, and we're also using not the most current tools. We have we're maybe two or three versions behind the rest of the world. And so we had a kind of a unique environment. And so we used the open source tools that were available to us, which is namely like web services, PHP, Java, MySQL. And I'll show you some of those things that we used. But we were able to develop it on this platform and then release it to our local and state users. So these are just a list of some of the tools that we did use. We tried to implement any kind of open source tool that was available that would make our life easier, namely like TinyMCE for the WYSIWYG editing and kind of data input. Yahoo has a whole list of user interface tools, and they're easy to use and implement, as well as the mail functions for the mailing communication. So the building blocks that exist that we wanted to use were, we wanted to build it upon a base of a single sign-on. Now in Utah, we have what's called the Utah Master Directory. It's a login directory where anybody can request a login. It's namely for Utah State, but anyone in the world can request a login and get access to this directory. Once they're in the directory, they can log into our application, and our application then handles the application-level security and the user-level security. And so it tells the system which, you know, applications you have access to and what you can do within those applications. Some of the other functions we handle is auditing, so you can keep track of who's getting into the system and who's doing what. And then we separate the system into two categories. There are core applications, which are applications that basically anybody that logs in the system has access to. You don't, they're centrally managed. You don't have to worry. You can use them, but they're there for everyone. Then you have custom applications, or secure applications, we call them. And these are either customized or other applications within the single sign-on system that are more, that have a higher level of security, and so they're, you control who has access to it and what they can do. And so some of the core applications I'll go over is like some like secure messaging, wikis, file libraries, things of that nature. But some of the more custom applications delve into the realm of like the issue tracker, where we only want certain epidemiological staff to have access to, as well as some of our members of, you know, preparedness and the PIO office. Other applications like ELR, laboratory reporting, is going to be a little more specific to a subset of users, as well as like clinical reporting and communication. And so we have the ability to allow anyone to create custom applications and host them within this framework. And that way we can implement them and deliver them in a much quicker. So here's just a quick list of some of the custom applications that we are currently using. So the core apps, we have like electronic messaging, calendaring, contacts, you know, project management. Some of the secure apps that we link to is we have the issue tracker. We can link to UT NEDS, our NEDS system, is under the same authentication umbrella. So users can seamlessly go in and out of different applications without having to re-log in or exit the environment. We have a newborn screening app where we're able to, you can log in once and then you can, and then from PH Access you can access newborn screening information on the HILSTIC or some of the hearing screening we do for newborns. Other clinical applications we are working on, like ELR is one of them. We're creating an app. Our laboratory uses a LIMS system, and they don't really have a good way for them to query their own system internally or externally. And so we have, so we're developing applications to help them do that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But the framework for PH Access is kind of separated into three different pieces. And so you have PH Access handling the authentication and authorization, it handling some of the data interfaces, or at least they're available. You can still do your own stuff if you want, but it's available so you can just go ahead and use it. You don't have to develop it on your own. And it's also going to handle the user interface. So you have a seamless and a common interface for your apps. I'd like to talk real quickly about each of the three pieces. And so the way we handle authentication is through the Utah Master Directory. It's a quick flow chart of how that works. When you log in to PH Access, a proxy kind of takes you and then sends you to the Utah Master Directory, which is a statewide system. And there you authenticate. Once you're authenticated, it passes you back to PH Access. And then you're within this umbrella. And from there, you can either use the core applications within PH Access, or you can be sent to any other application that is using that same authentication umbrella, like NEDS or IBIS as their indicator-based information system, or other ELR-type apps. And so that way you're all within one environment. You don't have to worry about going back and forth. Here's a screenshot of just what the homepage will look like. So you have access to any kind of app on the left-hand side in your menu. This is just a quick homepage. It'll show you what calendar events or messages that you may have. One of the unique features that we added is the ability to add applications quickly and then add users to those applications. And so you as a program manager, you would have access to the system. When you logged in, you would see any application that you have access to manage. And so on this side, if you were in the Epi group, you could manage any of your epidemiology applications. And you're able to add any app at any time. So you could quickly hit the plus sign, and you could just add another app. If you had one developed or one ready to go, or even a link to an external app, you could just quickly add it to the system. And once it's there, you can then add users to it. And so your users don't have to worry about finding a new website or a new login to get to that app. They just, when they log in, they'll just see it. And you can, you know, maybe do an alert or a training and say, hey, there's a new application available. Go ahead and click on it. And so to add users, you just hit the little Add Users tab, and then you can type in the username, any part of the name. It'll search and then list any users that match that name. If the user is not in this list, like they haven't logged into the system yet, then you can easily just add them. If you type the name and there's no user found, there's a little button that says Add User, and you just add them to the system, and then you can send them an email and say, hey, there's a system you can log in and then access your application this way. But it makes it really easy to go ahead and manage your users this way. You can add users, delete users pretty fast. The next piece I want to quickly talk about is the data interface. Here's an example of what we're doing with the ELR applications. So the LIMS database holds all the ELR data, but we have applications that want to query the LIMS database but also receive HL7 data from other laboratories and hospitals. And so what we do is we create the infrastructure that's needed to do this whole transaction, and then PH Access is kind of the application that interfaces with it. And through PH Access, you can create your own apps that will interface with that same data. You can go out and query the LIMS database, grab the subset of data, and then query HL7 messages that are coming in and feed them to your users. And so this infrastructure exists, so you don't have to go ahead and recreate it. You don't have to work with all the different entities that are needed to get a system like this up and running. And so that's our goal, is to create these common interfaces that you can just kind of plug in and create new apps to use the data. You don't have to worry about all the back end stuff. Now a case study on the lab information is, right now we have the medical examiner office. They are interested in toxicology labs from the state lab. And we have Epi, who wants pretty much everything else. And in the beginning, earlier this year, each of us were kind of going our own direction. We're kind of creating little silos and saying, hey, we're going to grab this data and we're going to do it our way, and we'll grab our data and do it our way. And so the lab is kind of getting really overwhelmed because if everyone's requesting views and their data and interfaces, and you know, it gets to be a security nightmare. And so we started to collaborate and say, hey, let's create a common infrastructure. We can go in and just grab the data, and then you can feed it to the users who's requesting it. And then there is some authentication there, so only the users have access to that data can query it, but we don't have to worry about creating all these different firewall holes and, you know, and different interfaces to all these different users. We'll have one common interface, and then we'll be able to query it and use it. And this really allows for a fast turnaround time, because in the past they were having to email the line list from the lab and say, here's our, you know, last week's data. And it wasn't real time, it wasn't ad hoc. And so with this new system, we're able to just, you know, query the data and view it. The last piece of the framework is the user interface piece. Here, the goal of this is to create the common interface and a common menu where your users can log in once, understand where the applications are, you know, click to your app, and then go for it. And that way, it really takes a lot of the burden off you as a developer or the program manager. You don't have to develop that yourself. You can just pop in your app. It's there just to start using it. Also, we have some common functions and classes, more for the programming developers. So if you want to send an email, you don't have to create a whole mail application or a module. You just use this common function or class and just say, hey, mail this data to this user, you know, go for it, and it just sends it out. And so that really, I think, helps and takes some of the burden off. One of the mail components is an example of what the mail system is. It's just a basic, you know, secure mail system, web-based system, but you have the option to send secure mail or unsecured mail. And so when you send a secure message, it goes out to the user that you send it to their inbox. Like, in we use GroupWise, so it'd go out to your GroupWise mail, and it says, hey, you have a new secure message. Go ahead and click here to view it. So they click there, they log in at PHAccess, and they can view all of their secure mail. If it's an unsecure mail, it just sends it out normally. And the reason we allowed unsecured mail and secured mail is that we used it a lot to send unsecured mail to groups. It's easy to create groups. If you want to send it to all the epidemiologists in a certain county, you can just send it easily to that group because they already have access to the system. You don't have to recreate the groups and in your own email system and to send them out. So this is kind of just the flow chart of how email flows. So it can either be secure or unsecure, and the user can log in and view it. Now, we used this messaging system during the H1N1 outbreak just because it was easy to create these groups. We go out and just say, hey, we want to create a group that are all clinicians or all infection preventionists and so forth, and just say, we're going to send this all of our, you know, like our SIT reports or other reports to that one. We just pop them out, and it worked pretty well. Another thing we used for the secure messaging is we allowed our infection preventionists, I guess they used to be ICPs, now they're IPs. I don't know if that's common or not, but in the past they were having to communicate with public health on, you know, certain cases, especially the local health departments. They'd say, local health departments would call and say, did this child, you know, be released, or did they have this infection or whatever? And they'd have to call back or fax back and say, yes, here, let me fax you information. They'd have to wait. The fax would fail. You know, it was a long process. It took a lot of time. So we created a pilot project where they would have them send these secure emails to public health and back and forth. And it really improved their efficiency. They were able to just go into their system, save all the data, like in PDF form or whatever, upload it to the system, send it to the they would send the data both to the state and the local health departments. They'd receive it, and they were done. And so it really reduced the number of faxes and the number of copies that they had to make. And also public health was able to hit reply, and they could just reply with over the secure email system using, you know, public health, private health information data. And so another thing we offer is a wiki workspace. It's more of a project management, kind of a Web 2.0 type workspace where you can collaborate with users, have a group, they can log in, make changes, things of that nature. So our next steps, we developed this pretty quickly. We started developing it last October. We rolled it out in March. to our users. And so we're always adding new applications and rolling it out to new users. The main goal of this is to get a large enough user base that it's easy to add new applications and then feed it to the new users. And so right now we have a pretty high user base on the public health side, not as high on the clinical side. And so we really want to create clinical applications that we would want to enroll these clinical users to use. And like this morning he said, I liked one of the things he said was that, you know, you have to create the business case. You can't just, you know, say, hey, here's this great app, go ahead and use it. They're just not going to do it. There has to be something in it for them. So for the infection preventionists, we had to say, hey, what could we do to help you in your job, but will also enable us to get data that we need? And so that's kind of our overall idea when we develop these things is, what can we do to help you make your job more efficient, but yet give us the data that we require? So one of the things we're going to be working on is the web-based reporting system. It's always hard to get clinicians to report public health data, but there are things clinicians want, and if we can provide a system that provides them some information, they'll be more likely to report information to us. One of those things is lab reporting. During the H1N1 thing, they had to submit, you know, like samples, test samples to the state lab to get tested, and the state lab would have to send them out to the CDC to get confirmed. And that was like a process took between 3 to 12 days, you know, depending on the backload. So these clinicians were calling every day, say, hey, where's my sample? What's the status? You know, do they have it? Do they not? What's going on? And the lab, it took a lot of time for the lab to answer the calls, to do feedback. So one of our goals this year is create a system where we can have online requisitioning and resulting of test samples going to the state lab. And that way the clinician will really get some feedback, and it'll also enable them to provide information on what tests that they're doing and some of the trends that they're seeing. So that's kind of one of our goals, is to try to roll this out, expand it, because once it's expanded, it'll be easier for other users to hop onto it and then use the existing user base. We also want to facilitate more of the open source community, facilitate adoption, get feedback, and help other people who are struggling with some of the same issues. So for more information, you can go to our couple websites. We have one at health.utah.gov/PHI/PHAccess. This talks a little bit about it. And we have an online demo you can log into at rockymountaincoe.org/PHAccess. And we'll release the code there and also release it on SourceForge. And so it's available. You can kind of play with it. But you can log in and play with the demo and do whatever. You can contact me, john.reed@utah.edu. Any questions or anything? And some of the acknowledgments, we are funded by the Center of Excellence at the University of Utah. Is Matt Seymour is our PI, and Dr. Ross, the state epidemiologist. So we'll open it to any questions, and go ahead.
Your application may seem to speak fairly directly to the Venn PCA guidelines. Do you have any intention of getting record testing alerting under this guideline?
Yeah, actually, we actually have our preparedness guy here, and we've talked about cascading alerting a little bit. That's one of our projects we're actually just starting, is public health alerting, where we haven't worked out all the details, but it'd be nice to have one system where you can pop in a public health alert. It goes out to all the different systems that need the alert, and then cascade to other states, other alerting systems. And that's something we've talked about. We haven't delved into that mode yet, because I guess one of the problems with cascading is you have to have common language between the systems to cascade to. And I know, you know, there are standards for that. And
we are developing a system fairly similar to yours on a different platform, and we're in the middle of our own alerting trials.
Yeah, and are you part of Han? And
Yeah.
Oh, well, good. we need to talk, because our goal is to create a framework where we can add these applications. And so, you know, public health alerting is an app that we are working on, and it'd be interesting to collaborate and to see how things work. So, thanks.
Utah Master Directory, is that an LDAP?
It's actually using SiteMinder. It's based upon LDAP and Kerbios, but Yeah, it's through the SiteMinder application. I know some other states are using it. I don't know what the proliferation of it is, but some of our ideas is to link the Utah Master Directory to the IHC, the Environmental Healthcare System, and the University of Utah system, so any of the clinicians in those systems will have automatic access, authorization to the directory. And so I think LDAP will facilitate all of that. And so, sorry. And these are all be posted, right? The slides will all be online. Mm-hmm. And so.
You were mentioning secure messaging and emailing clinicians, providers, healthcare. Did they request it in that delivery method, or did they have input into that? In my state, in Wisconsin, our clinicians, our hospital leadership groups have requested fax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on what we're doing. If it's like a public health alert, you know, fax is, I think, still one of the main ways to do it. This is more for communication. So if a physician has a question or a public health person has a question on a specific patient, you could do a fax, but, you know, faxes have problems. They don't work sometimes. It's a pain to have to copy and then fax. And so this way, you can send a secure email. They can log in and then communicate bidirectionally. And we talked about this to the lab department up at Primary Children's Hospital, because right now they're receiving all the results, you know, through fax. And we talked about if we could send them electronically somehow, either through some ELR or secure message, is that something they'd want? And they said yes, because the problem with the fax is it goes to a central fax that's manned, but those faxes may not get to the doctor who, you know, requested the test for maybe, you know, a day or so. And this way they could log in and check on the status of their result just by looking at the secure email. And so I don't think it'll take the place of a fax, but I think it'll help supplement faxing. So, any other questions or? What was?
Have you looked at using an alerting system using cell phones?
And that's something that we've talked about, and I know that Deborah's presenting on that in SMS messaging, and that's something I think would be, you know, really interesting, especially statewide alerting, you know, through text messaging. And I know we use a CityWatch system for our public health alerting, and I'm sure that's a piece that can be put in there, but I'm sure that's something we're talking about. We just barely got started in our public health alerting application, so we'll go through that. So. All right, well, thank you very much.